Good morning, it's me, NHKPP.
Morning, NHZKF Dave.
Good morning, Dave. What's happening?
Well, I was hoping it wouldn't rain till later, but I'm on the highway heading out to Ann Arbor. And I'm glad I'm going the on the westbound 696 instead of the eastbound. Quite a bus over there. So, how about yourself?
Yeah, we got to go east and west on 696 today. She wants to go to the boat show. It's one of the things on our wish list. It's more of a want than a need, like with most toys. But, you know, if one comes across, we'll probably end up owning one. But it's not a we have to have it. We got the bug. You know, it's something for the grandkids to go on and things of that nature. So, but we're going out there to take a look. So, you have confirmed my suspicion. Thank you. So, heading there is going to be good. Heading back, I'm going to figure out an alternate route. Maybe come down into Detroit and then head back north. I'm coming from New Baltimore.
Yes, well, I'm sure you'll find a good one. And I can't think of anything better to do today than take a leap into the boating lifestyle. I've been a boater my whole life. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Very relaxing. It's kind of like this ham radio. That, you know, you can really get immersed in it, working on your boat and not enjoying it. But, it's an awful lot of fun. What kind of thing? What kind of boat are you looking at, and how are you going to use it?
Probably, I'd like to get a 30-footer, no bigger, Lake St. Clair. I'm going to have it rack stored at Anchor Bay Marina. I had one before. I had a 26-foot, 26.5 Regal, 2665 or whatever the heck it was before. A single engine with an outdrive, and so I've had them before, and I rack stored it. I really like rack storing it. It makes things so much easier, and that place, it's been a few years since I had a boat, but that place was always so fast. I mean, they knew if the weather was nice, they'd have like 5 or 6 forklift drivers there, and if it was crummy, they'd have 1 or 2. I don't think I've ever had to wait more than 5 or 6 minutes for those guys to get our boat out. So I'll probably end up doing that. Plus, it keeps it nice and pretty. So that's another thing that makes it kind of cool. So that's basically where we're going to go. Lake St. Clair. I like Lake St. Clair. Had a boat. Then I fell in love with jet skis. I got a monster powerful jet ski. I got a 300 horsepower speeding jet ski. And right now we just take advantage of other people's boats. So we go boat hopping and visiting all our friends. And I'm at the north end of the lake, so the waters are always calm, and I know how to bounce around up there pretty quick.
Well, that is going to be an exciting trip today. Yeah, there's a lot of really, if you're buying new especially, I assume you're going to the boat show, you're thinking about getting something new. There's a lot of really interesting boats. If you're racking, you're thinking more day boat. But in that 30-foot range, they're making a lot of boats that don't have quite as much of a premium on below deck space and still have a little bit, but really have maximized the space up top. And, you know, bow rider kind of configuration, bow seating, and, you know, a lot of accommodations up on top if you're doing that, and unless you're getting into something that's just like pure speed. But I own a 30-foot Sea Ray Sundancer 2006. I had a 33, and I've had sailboats and powerboats over the years. My use is a little different. I keep it up in Charlevoix. And I like the below deck space because it's my condo up there.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that do that. I want some space in case you want to go crash or have one too many or go cool off or, you know, I just, you know, sometimes you just get tired of talking, you know, so I'm more ham radio guys, but sometimes you do. So, you know, I want some below space, but like you said, it doesn't have to have the total sleeping quarters, the package type thing, you know. I've taken it to Put in Bay. I've been taking it to Kelly's Island. I've done all of that stuff when I had the other boat. So I'm fine. The boat that I really, really like is that, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like a 28-29 foot Monterey. It's got a big single screw motor in it, outdrive, and it's got a bow thruster. I just think that thing is so freaking cool. But every time I find one of those, they want stupid money for them. I mean, they want more money for them than what they were new. So I really did that. And then I went and looked at one a couple years back. This is how long I've been boat shopping. I went and looked at one a couple years back, and Monterey 1 year did not make the bow thruster in that boat, or they made it an option. I forget what year it was, and this was one of those boats. There is no way I'm going to try to maneuver around a boat that big without twins or a bow thruster. That's brilliant. I am not familiar with that boat. When I get where I'm going, so I'll take a look online. So, you know, I've had the 33 Dancer with the B drives, and the 30 Dancer that I have now has got out drives. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's brilliant. The difference between the B drives and the out drives for managing it in the marina, and I can handle my boat just fine. It's dramatic. As I'm sure you know, with the out drives, you've got all that thrust happening in the very back of the boat. So your pivot point is in the very back. And out drives are almost like jet drives. You know, if you don't have any thrust on it, you're just really not getting anything. The V drives were great because they were farther forward. They were, you know, big rudders, and you could really maneuver the boat pretty easily, even, you know, at very low idle. But I love that idea of a single bigger engine. You don't have two engines to maintain, and then the bow thruster. That's brilliant. And I bet they have joystick controls on them with all that there. That's a really good idea. And then it's got to be a lot more efficient, too. Yeah, that's the other thing I like about it is the, you know, the efficiency, or at least the claim. I forget. It's got, what's the equivalent today, the 7.4, the 8.1? You can get with the 8.1 or the 6.2 motor. And like I said, and the other thing, it makes it a heck of a lot easier for somebody to work on. I'm at the age where I'm not going to work on it anymore, but it makes it a lot cleaner, a lot nicer. So that's the boat that I really, really, really want is that Monterey. And we have a Monterey dealer in town, and he knows I'm looking for one. But, you know, like I said, no hurry, but if one presents itself, I might present a check for it. I think that's probably something I'm going to end up doing. So, but other than that, yeah, I really enjoy boating. You said you keep yours up in northern Lake Michigan area, Charlevoix?
Yeah, it took me a while to get everything set up the way I have it set up right now. But, yeah, I run a slip every year at a marina, Northwest Marine, and right in Lake Charlevoix, right over by Lake Michigan, and it's really quick, easy access to Lake Michigan. And I'll get the boat in the water as early as I can every year. I keep it sorted indoors, and it's probably all ready to go now. I don't work on mine anymore. I used to do everything. I don't do it anymore. But, yeah, it's right there. It's in Charlevoix, and I'm a little spoiled. I'm a pilot, so I got a little plane. I keep it in Troy. So just jump in the plane. I'm up there in about an hour and 15 minutes and about a two-minute drive or a five-minute bike ride down to the marina, and I'm all set. So I had been at Jefferson Beach for several years, but I got to tell you, I really enjoy Lake Charlevoix.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty over there. I mean, you just got to be careful with Lake Michigan, and I'm sure you know that. If you've done, you know, with your resume, I'm sure you know all that. Yeah, I've been out in Lake Michigan, too. I grew up in the west side of the state. I grew up in Pawpaw, so a friend of mine always had a boat out in Lake Michigan, so you knew. And, like, I remember one time we took him, we went, took a boat ride, and I think he kept his boat to St. Joe. I remember, I know he did. And we took his boat over there in front of the nuclear power plant, and the water was like 85 degrees. You know, in one breath, it was kind of cool, and in the other breath, I'm thinking to myself, I'm surprised my head hasn't fallen off from doing something like that, but that was quite an experience. I remember doing that, so, but yeah, Lake Michigan is, you either love it or hate it, you just got to watch days, but, you know, if you're buried into Lake Charlotte Point, too, so you've got, like, a little island in there, too, so that makes it really, really cool.
Yeah, I get the, it's kind of the best of both worlds right there. If it's, yeah, there are days I do not go out of Lake Michigan. You got to respect the big water. You know, a 30-foot powerboat is no business out in 6, 8, 10 footers. I do run the big lake a lot, but only on nice days. I run it from Mackinac Island. I run north of there. I run all the islands around Lake Michigan, near me, you know, Beaver, North Fox, all that, Traverse City. And this summer, hopefully I have enough time to cruise a little bit further. But you just got to pick your days. You know, there are days not to go out there. And it's a lot easier now. I mean, I've got radar. I got XM weather. I got a chart plotter. It's pretty hard. If you know how to work all that stuff, it's pretty comfortable being out there at low visibility. It just, wavy, windy days are no fun.
Yeah, I don't have any experience with radar, but I could, I'm a real ham radio. I'm a real geeky guy, so I could see myself getting into, you know, the radar thing. They said that, you know, like, if you hop out onto Lake Erie if you want to go to Bush Bay or Gilly Island or something like that, all you have to do is turn the radar on and look for the big tower, you know, and then aim for the tower. You don't even need GPS. You don't need anything. So I got a business friend of mine. He owns a handful of car dealerships, and he's got a big boat, like a 45-footer or something like that. He's older than us, by, you know, probably old enough to be our father, but he says he just tells his boat what to do once he gets it out there, and he says he really doesn't have to pay any attention to anything. The boat just does it. But when you got a boat that big with diesel, you know, I'm sure, you know, it monitors how bad it's going up and down and all those other things, and he drives it all the way around and comes down into St. Clair River and brings it home. You know, he lives over there on the east side.
Yeah, the thing I find is the radar's good and it's helpful, but I use it because you don't really want to run into anything. But actually, the chart plotter and the AIS receiver, and I'm going to put transmit in too so people know I'm there. Honestly, that is what is more helpful than anything, because you know exactly where you are. So many boats have AIS on them. Anyone significant definitely does. You can see all those guys, and, you know, on a big day that it really matters you're out in the bigger water, there aren't going to be too many people out there that that you're not going to be able to see visually that you need to worry about too much. And the AIS is going to give you all the bigger targets you really want to watch out for. So even without the radar, if you don't have a radar configuration, you'll want to deal with it. A really good chart plotter and AIS is about all you really need. And I just bought a Raytheon unit. My boat had outdated electronics. Slapped that sucker in there. It wasn't really that hard. Put a new VHF with AIS on it, and off to the races. It's worked out pretty good. Oh, I don't have an autopilot. That, my boat selling an autopilot's a pain, but that's the one thing I really miss.
Yeah, he has autopilot, so that's what it is. So, yeah, AIS, that's the one that sends out your beacon, right? So Like, we watch for ships once in a while if we're bored and the weather's kind of ucky. We'll go out to St. Clair River, and I use that Marine Tracker app, and I'm surprised at some of the small boats, smaller boats that report. You know, I got, 500, 750, 1,000-foot ships. That of course they have to have it, so we look, and when you see like with George Thorogood or whatever the name of that big monster 1,000-footer is, or this year I missed the Icebreakers. I really enjoyed last year. We went and watched the Icebreaker come through, but I always watch that app. So if you're bored, we go in there and just sometimes just sit on the St. Clair and just sit on the those benches in Marine City and either one and sit and watch the ships come by. But that app is the same thing. But yeah, I'm surprised, like you said, you got a 30-footer with the thing that reports that. So, because I see a lot of little beady boats. So you got to take a picture of your boat and post it on the Marine Tracker app. So when somebody sees you on their little app, they can say, oh, look at, that's who owns that boat. So it'd be kind of cool. What else was I getting? Something else I was going to offer up. But yeah, anyways, enjoy that. Oh yeah, I know. You've probably got the red button hooked up too, I'm sure. So she starts thinking, all you got to do is hit the red button, and she starts sending out beacons. Yeah, got all that. And really, that stuff, AIS received, at least I haven't bought a radio in 5 years, but AIS received, and all the emergency stuff, is built in almost every VHF radio now. And it's really not that hard to get it networked over to your chart plotter. AIS transmit, it's probably more prevalent now than it used to be. I mean, why not do it? If you're setting up a new boat and setting up electronics, might as well do it. It's kind of cool. People can see you. And, I mean, if you're not going to be doing any big, heavy cruising, and you're just going to be... But even running around Lake St. Clair, you're coming back somewhere. You go somewhere and you go... go to some bar or something, a restaurant, you're coming back across the lake at night in the dark. Having the AIS transmit on there is going to let other people see and help out, but the AIS receive with the chart plotter is just beautiful. And but with those other apps, you can do the same thing. So, you probably do the whole damn thing on a cell phone right now. You got weather and the AIS plotter and the chart plotter in your phone. It's kind of fun, though, being a ham. I got my car all set up. I kind of like to get the boat all set up, too. And KPP, haven't said that for a while. And after this, so we'll get a little break, see if anybody else wants to butt in, which is fine. I don't mean that meanly, but kind of hijacked the channel. But, yeah, all that stuff kind of goes hand-in-hand. As far as... ham radio and all the boat electronics and everything else, and you being a pilot, I'm sure, that even enhances it, as far as all of the stuff, because a lot of that stuff is kind of similar. So let's give it a second, see if anybody else wants in. N-A-K-P-P.
K-F-A, that's mobile.
Hey, David.
Yeah, I don't have to join the conversation. I can listen. I'm just letting everybody know I'm on my way.
Okay. I'm going to the Breakfast Club, too. I'm at 12 Mile and I-94. It's like a little bit, but actually be there in time today. So, I forget the guy's call sign. It's in Russ and I were going in.
All right, real good. Good morning, everybody, and it's ZKF Dave. Yeah, I kind of forgot you guys have your Saturday morning breakfast. I'll crash at one of these Saturdays and get a chance to say hello. I think I'm going to back out and let you guys chit-chat on your way to breakfast. But, good luck at the boat show today. Have a lot of fun. I know, I think Phil was out there yesterday looking at stuff for his boat. So you guys have fun. Enjoy your breakfast this morning. Good luck in getting a boat. Let us know what you get. And everybody have a great morning. And 73s to the crew. I'm going to put both hands on the wheel. So good morning, all. And I take care. KFA-BOT.
This is Eric.
out of Holly. I just wanted to let you know I've been enjoying your conversation. I don't own a boat yet, but I dream. But I just wish you guys all a happy Saturday and enjoy this beautiful weather. And good luck with the boat show. But you guys all take care of yourselves. KF8DOT73.
Yeah, thank you. It's more of a want than a need. Like it says, I'm getting a little bit too old for this jet ski, and the grandkids all want to go for a ride. You know, Marion wants to do boating now so she can take her older kids out. So, kind of more of a family peer pressure thing. So, and I did have one before, but I'm still keeping the jet ski. All right, Dave, KF8S.
Very good, yeah. Boat, what was that phrase? Best day in a boat owner's life is the first day they get it and then when they sell it. Something. Or what does boat stand for? Borrow another $1,000 or something. but no, I'm not into boats, but I like going by the water. So probably now that I live a little bit closer, probably... you know, go up that stretch between Algonac and Marine City. I've never been to Marine City. I heard Walt, through his life there. I heard him talk about Marine City, how he liked to go out there.
Let's see if Walt, we got it. Yeah, you heard me talking about that marine traffic app. Yeah, bring the kids up there. Try to coordinate it around the marine traffic gap, when there's a lot of freighter traffic, so you could, show all the kids all the, the freighters and things going by in Marine City. And there's, man, if you like fish, there's an absolutely famous restaurant there. The pricing's not too bad. It's called the Marine City Fish Company. And the fish is, the whole place is just the view, the setup inside, the service, the view, the food, everything is just, it's well worth the trip. So that would be a Wally recommendation for a family someday. And then they got all these little stores there that, they got a candy store, an old-fashioned candy store in town right there on the water's edge. And they got a popcorn store. So it would be a great day trip for, you to take the kids to. Go ahead, Dave.
Just wanted to make sure there wasn't more than one Dave. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I'll have to do that. I don't know, have you driven up that way? Is Algonac State Park still a mess?
No, I enjoy it. We went to Algonac last night for dinner, so, I enjoy all of that stuff up there, so it's worth doing.
Yeah, I was thinking more along, POTA as well. Obviously if I'm taking them with me, I'm probably not going to do POTA, but if it's just me, I would probably go out there and do some POTA first or something or after.
There's all the parks. I mean, you're not going to get in the water in St. Clair or Marine City because it's all seawall. But the views are beautiful and the parks are nice. And, nobody's going to say anything. I mean, if there's lots and lots of grassy areas that, with park benches and everything else like that. So, I don't foresee any problem you guys doing POTA there. I think that would be probably an ideal location, Just have to get your foreign call on, right? Hey.
KF8S. Yeah, there's, well, along that coastline, like if you go north of Port Huron and stuff, there's a bunch of state parks as well. I was thinking maybe one of these summer days in the, on the weekend or something, maybe like a group of us could go do a POTA circuit, I guess. We'd have to wake up really early, but like maybe drive out to the furthest one, do POTA there, and then based on the time, you know, go back down south, you know, to other parks along the way. So we'll have to see. I'll have to map it out, time it, see what the timing's like, and maybe get a group together to do that.
POTA, POTA, POTA.
Okay, let's upset Sean. Go ahead, Breaker.
No, I just wanted to do a POTA, POTA, POTA.
I think you got the floor now, POTA.
W-8-P-O-T-A. Or P-0-T-A. Where would that be? Anyhow, thank you. Yeah, we haven't heard that in a while. There was a guy that was harassing them when they were doing POTA one day, and he was singing that little ditty.
Oh, it wasn't us. It was some other guy that he was heckling.
Ah,
okay. Anyhow, good morning, gentlemen. I am out and about with my Sean / Wally chimes in the background.
Wear your seatbelt. You know, the funny thing about that conversation is we effectively got the same car and we got the same time. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, it's like your guys are atrophy. I was going to ask, did you guys hear, get a lot of thunder? There was thunder by me. It's raining right now, but about 4 in the morning we had a thunderstorm.
It's some pretty heavy rain, but I don't remember lightning or thunder, but I could have slipped right through it.
Yeah, we had some thunder, rain. I didn't see any lightning or anything else like that, although I did see the news this morning for a little bit, and I guess down south got whacked with a bunch of really strong tornadoes. Dave, go.
Oh, I believe it. I'm glad we live in we do get tornadoes up here, but we seem to be north of all that, where we don't get it as often, or if it does, it's like, you know, one here and there.
My God, why can't people park?
Oh, the cross street, 12 mile.
Roger.
Dave, go ahead.
I was dodging traffic. I'm on M53 Expressway. I don't know where people are in a hurry on a Saturday. I mean, I'm already driving like 70-something, and these people don't want to pass. So, I don't know. Is there something cool going on a Saturday other than breakfast?
Well, let's see. St. Patrick's Day is Monday. Steak and... You know what day was yesterday? I know, Pi Day 2 and Dave's birthday. But I don't know what today is, if anything. And there's Wally.
I have arrived.
Alrighty, enjoy. I'll be there around 8:30. 8:29 is what my ETA says.
Oh, you're joining us?
Yes, I am, and I can't take 696, so I'll do the mound route, I guess.
All right, cool. For some reason, I thought you were going on a POTA thing, because I dropped in on the conversation about that. All right, anyhow, Wally's here. I'm going to jump out. We'll keep a seat for you. W8FU.
See you guys in a bit. KSA-DES.
NAKPP. NAKPP, New Baltimore bound.
W8FU.
Well, which direction are you going?
What was that? I'm sorry, I'm on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard Sean throw his call out. I didn't see which direction he was going.
Okay, yeah. I am going north, AGPR, back to the phone call.
Yo.
I thought that was Sean calling.
Sean, you doubled. You're heading north. I thought it was just being if you were heading west.
Negative. Heading up the Phils.
I am on I-75, about a mile from Square Lake Road. So it says my ETA is about 13 minutes.
Roger.
Very good. Yeah, I missed that conversation. You working on his repeater?
Well, I'm curious, but I'm not working on it. I just got some parts that might help him get it going.
Oh, very good. You heard anything about your west trip yet?
No, I'm going to make a phone call in about half an hour, around noonish. Make sure everybody's up and have time to get the cobwebs out, and then got some parlaying to do, and we'll see. I'd say the odds are pretty good, but we shall know more in a hour or so.
Yeah, very good. Okay, let me know. Yeah, if you head west of Kalamazoo, let me know. I got a repeater buddy of mine that you can say hi to. But you'd have to get west of town. But if you're east of town or in town, it won't work.
It's right off the freeway, but just west of town. That's right. You get off right west of town. I forget where exactly you get off, but it is a little west of town.
Okay. I can stand for the frequency. NATH, you know him. I'm sure you do. He's been involved as you are. He's a great guy. So, all right. Drive safe. I'll talk later.
Okay. W8FU. Hey, Phil. W8FU. Phil.
my GPS told me to turn right on Woodward, make the first loop around, and turn right on the Square Lake. What in the heck would it do that for? Was it closed or something?
No. I just came through there. Why would it... You're on Square Lake Road?
Yeah, I was on Square Lake, heading, coming up on Woodward. The GPS wanted me to turn right on Woodward, immediately make the turnaround, turn right back on the Square Lake, instead of just going straight through the intersection. I was like, how would I do that for? I didn't, obviously, but...
Yeah, I have no idea why I would do that. Using Waze or what?
That was with Google Maps. I could not get Waze to propagate. I mean, I know where I'm going. The only reason I put it in there is just for the time, you know. I didn't need your address. I just wanted to bring it up. But I decided to take the middle belt route, so get the scenic route here.
Yeah, that works. A little slower, but gets you here.
I do the other one all the time. I figured I'd do this one. GPS only crabbed for a minute. Not even.
Okay. I'm just outside putting some air in my tires.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to check mine. I had a nail pulled out of my passenger, or my passenger rear. I had 19,800 and some odd miles on this car. Didn't even have 20,000 on it. I take it into discount tire because I had a slow leak in my rear right tire. And he said, he goes, you know, your tread's just about gone. He says, these tires are like, you know, you're going to have to replace these. I'm like, I don't even have 20,000 on this thing. Have you ever successfully made a manufacturer honor their warranty? What's involved in all that?
Yeah, it's prorated, whatever, but I bought the belt tire warranty with my tires. I had to use it a number of times.
Well, let's see, this is a brand new car. You know, these are the ones that came, the Michelins that came on it from the factory. I know they probably don't put the greatest tires on them, but still, they were like 50,000 or 60,000 mile tires, and I don't even have 20, and they're telling me that I'm at the end of their tread life.
Yeah, that seems excessive. Of course, they'll probably say, well, you don't keep them properly inflated, or you corner too hard or brake too hard. You know, they'll come up with some excuse.
I mean, this car isn't capable of driving crazy, and I take it in too often for there to be an inflation issue, and I know that's not it. And they got a computer. They can look at that, right? So... I really don't know how they're going to pull that. The only thing I guess they could say is they drive too aggressively, you know, too hard a cornering and too hard a braking, I guess they could say, but unless you're skidding, how does that affect your tread life? I don't know. Ah, man. All right, I'm turning right on the belt here. It says something about 4 minutes out.
Okay. I'm going direct to the computer now. I was going through the node. Sound okay?
Yes, it do.
Yeah, it definitely receives better than it transmits right now.
It is rock solid, and you are rock solid into it, so I noticed nothing since I switched to it. Okay, I see the light just up ahead here. I'm about 2 minutes out, 3 minutes out, so I will see you in a minute.
Okay, I be here. He be up here.
W8FU. I'm here.
Uh-huh.
C-A-T-U-W.
Oi, oi, oi. Audio store, one of the last ones I know of here in Rochester.
Just saying Rochester sounds expensive.
The absolute lowest cost amplifier he had was one I have. That's like the lowest, the cheapest one he has. That's like his one he offers. Like me.
Suddenly ham radio is a cheaper hobby.
What were you looking for?
I have need for a phono preamp. I don't have one in my amp. And I was just looking to see if he had. He in fact had V1. They sell my integrated amp with a preamp and without. The newest one has it built in, and it's significantly more money. So I went to see. Not only did he have the external preamp, that the exact one that makes mine different from the newer version, but then he had some other ones. But I just wanted to see about talking about a phono pre-stage, and oh my God, like I said, everything. And it was all Macintosh and Martin Logan and all this other stuff. It's just like.
Crazy. All right, cool. Just curious. I know you can get a phono preamp on Amazon for not expensive. I know you're probably looking for a higher quality one, but anyway, interesting. It could sort of stop that to see where you're at anyway, right?
Good place to go for a reality check. And, yeah, Dave, let me tell you, audio makes ham radio look like a joke. They, the highest priced things in amateur radio, you're just literally anteing up in the audio world.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, there's a lot more audio files out there and, you know, listeners and things like that, and, I mean, just look at how much the stupid Apple headphones cost. Kind of tells you right there.
Well, you know, there's good enough, and there's good, there's actually good, and then there's all sorts of levels above that actually good. And I think we used to call it isoteric. So you know, there's much about the isoteric audiophile realm that many of us would say is more mental than they will argue to the death that it's, you know, that the difference between this $4,000 phono preamp stage and this $5,000 one was night and day. And I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, and as we age, our hearing response lowers, so hear less of the high end. So some people claim that they can still hear the high end, but you can take hearing tests and stuff, and you do lose the high end as you age.
You go, Greggy.
Still here, running errands. Just want to know what you were looking for at the audio store. K-E-8-B-S-I. What else is everybody up to?
Well, went to breakfast. We had a unruly crowd there this morning. Jack was schooling us all. Dave was there. So, usual suspects. No Captain Don, that surprised me. And then I went home and found a part for Phil so we can get his repeater fixed. He's in the middle of working on that right now. I went and dropped it off to him because I wanted to go by this audio store. There was another one supposed to be out by him, but it closed. And I said, man, this place is right by Phil. I'll just go out there. But then I went by this one here in Rochester and, like I said, got a reality check. And now I'm just on my way home. I'm just debating on whether I'm going to go by Tringali's Bakery before I do it, before I get home. That's my day in a nutshell. After that, after I get home, I don't know. Nice weather to maybe monkey with an antenna, I suppose. Dave?
Yeah, it's very windy outside. I was taking advantage of that a little bit and augmenting my leaf blower and getting rid of some of the leaves on my lawn, but I ran out of battery power in the leaf blower, so taking a little break, let it charge. I think it's probably done by now. And then I'm going to go out there and do... I don't know if I do antenna work. It's pretty windy. So, where are you off to, Greg?
Oh, just a couple of errands. I got first stop I'm almost to right now is the Lotto store. And then I'm looking for some munchies, maybe lunch. I don't know, just getting out of the house. And, yeah, it's very windy. I would not do antenna work today. Leaf blowing would be cool because all you got to do is get them moving and then they'll, like, just be carried away. That's actually a good idea.
WIM.
Go ahead, Arp. How you doing?
Hey, Sean, Dave and Greg, I believe. Yeah, I've been hearing you talk a few days now about your audio stuff, and I'm curious which stores you hit, because we did a purchase about, I think it was 8 years ago now, and hit, like, Absolute Sound, hit T-Cars, hit a couple other places. And if you hit T-Cars, did you do the big video demonstration there in there? Demo room that set up like a little mini movie theater.
No, this is a relatively new journey for me, kind of by chance. And I was under the impression those were all gone. I didn't think there was any one of those left standing.
Well, I can't vouch for their condition today. They were around a few, like I said, about 8 years ago when I was shopping. If T-Cars is still open, make sure you hit that place and check out their demo room and watch their demo disc DVD. They've got a Dolby Atmos setup, basically a 10-speaker system, and this demo disc that's in like 10K HD. On a massive screen that's got to be over 100 inches. And that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. It's worth spending 20 minutes in there just to kind of watch the demo disc. It's about, it's like several little 3-4 minute videos in a row of completely different things and different soundscapes and whatnot, and it's totally worth doing it. Just for reference, I ended up with a higher-end Yamaha Aventador head unit and some Definitive Technology speakers. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, you guys go ahead and chat audio stuff. I got to get to the leaf blower stuff. I'll be listening, though. This is out of my depth anyways. Go ahead, Greg, and then pass it over to Sean.
All right, well, I'm at my first stop. I'm going to head in. And, Sean, if you do go to P-Tires or find any others, let me know if we're going to go look at demo stuff. I would like to do that as well. Be back shortly, KEV, if I'm Sean.
All righty, I'm going to definitely look into that because I was under the impression all of my old haunts. We were just talking about that. And I heard they were all gone. And, you know, they're all closed. And I'm going to definitely look into that because they're more my speed. This place I went to now is, way high-end, I don't even know if they had anything under, you know, anything in there under $3,000-$4,000. You know, most things were $6,000-$10,000. This place was, you know, I mean, maybe accessories. They had a phono preamp stage for $1,700. You know, it was just next level. You know, just esoteric. You know, yeah, not going there, but yeah, that sounds good. I'm going for a 2.0 or a 2.1 system. I'm not looking for any kind of, I get it, you know, I would love to do the demo, and I will definitely do that if I go there, but, you know, this is a totally an audio quest. This is, you know, I'm empty nested now. I've got a room I can acoustically treat and get set up just for listening, and I wanted to kind of crack my stuff back out, and I decided to do a little, cracking all my old stuff back out with maybe a little upgrade here, upgrade there, and so, you know. But I'm playing at a very different end of the pool than the place I just left. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, what is the place you just left? And what are a couple of the other spots that maybe you've already hit?
I hit nowhere because I didn't know of anywhere. This was the first place I could find that's still in business, and it's called a Sound... Absolute, or not Absolute Sound, but Sound Advantage, and it's Rochester, North End, just before you head out of town on the north side.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've been to that one, and I think there was a place called Absolute Sound on Woodward, just south of 14 on the east-hand side. I don't know if that's in business. I have to imagine the Covey took a few of them out. Back to P-Cars, if it's still open. Yeah, their demo room is obviously well sound insulated and, you know, heavily carpeted, yada, yada. And that's where I ended up getting sold on the Definitive Technology speakers. Because that's what they had there. And they were using the top-end Yamaha a vintage speaker, head unit, amp. But I ended up buying it all at, believe it or not, some of the Best Buys, a few of them. There's one on Telegraph, Birmingham or whatever. They have something called a Magnolia Room. And the Best Buys that have a Magnolia Room have much higher sound equipment in there than your average Best Buy. So if you haven't heard of that, make sure you check that out. WYDM, back to you.
Yeah, I just kind of stumbled across that the other day. But everything I've got has been, you know, used market. I have been very, very fortunate. Let me just say that. I got a Hagel H190. And I'm driving a set of Kef R3 Metas bookshelves. Probably going to add a JL 110 to that mix. Maybe. I don't know that I'm even going to need a sub. But I got a line on a JL 110. And so and I'm going to stream. I'm going to try to do all streaming. So I haven't really settled in on my source materials yet. I got my old Tenon deck that is a very, very good deck, and I might have to put some cartridge on it, but either that or I don't know. I haven't really decided. But yeah, the new pieces are the Hagel H190 and the Kef R3 Metas. So that's anchoring the new kit.
Okay, well, I'm not familiar with Hagel, so that might be something that's out of my range. Kef, I think I've heard of, and of course, Denon. Yeah, what really got turned me on to decent sound was just, I was poking around initially at upgrading the system in the living room, and initially started out at your usual suspect ABC warehouse and that kind of stuff, and just checking out, you know, what's like the best you could get there, and I wasn't all that impressive, so that's when I started checking out these high-end stores, and I think it was Absolute Sound on Woodward, I think was the name of it, And that's where I got turned on to stuff like MagnaPans, you know, those 6 foot tall Mylar speakers and the amazing sound that comes out of there. Placement's super important with those, but just mind-blowingly phenomenal. Was listening to some Stevie Ray Vaughan and hearing notes I'd never heard before. But, you know, they're like $10,000 a pair or whatever, that kind of stuff, and that was out of my league. And I looked at cheaper speakers, relatively speaking, like $3,000-$4,000 a pair. But just for what it's worth, I was all in on the stereo equipment for about $5,000. So that's where I landed there.
And what kind of source material, sources do you have? Are you streaming, phono? What are you using?
No phonograph, no tape deck. It's all just primarily for the TV and watching movies. It really, when you get a really good soundtrack movie that's recorded in Dolby Atmos or a high level of Dolby, it's amazing how you can hear the sounds all over. And we have, to get the Dolby Atmos effect, the definitive technology tower speakers at the front have a module that you can put in on the top, which we did end up with, that shoots some speakers at a 45 degree so that the sound bounces off the ceiling at you, basically creating the effect of having ceiling-mounted speakers, and it works surprisingly well. On the subwoofer end, both the towers have a 10 in them, and believe it or not, my center channel is a pretty big box, and it has an 8-inch in it, and I've got plenty of bass. Not hurting on that. Probably an example of the movie that would take advantage of that is like The Expendables. Really good soundtrack for that.
Right, yeah. I have a separate, not as good as that, but I have a separate, you know, 5.1 system that is for the home theater. It's good. It doesn't take advantage of Atmos. My receiver doesn't even do Atmos. But I've got a 5.1. It's good enough for us. You know, Andrea doesn't like listening to that. She wants the sound bar experience at most, and that's hard. She wants, you know, the single monorail speaker, you know, and then subtitles, and it's like we argue about listening to the television experience. So it's been disappointing. I've got what I would call decent mid-fi. It's a whole Polk system, a Polk TS system with the towers, the satellites, the sub, and the center. And a Denon deck, AVR, and I upgraded from a Sony, which was good, but I wanted HDMI switching, and the Denon adds that. It was an earlier one, a little older than your stuff, earlier in that. There was some streaming built in. I could do like Pandora, Spotify, a couple things, but, very fudgy kind of on-screen CGA kind of display. You know, so it was, and I'm still very happy with it just because I can't utilize it. This stuff now is next level. This is going to be a 2.0 or maybe a 2.1 in a very confined spot, now that I'm an empty nester, I have a spot that I can dedicate to it. I can condition all the walls and the rooms and the carpet, and I can pick the furniture, specifically for this mission. And, I'm going to just turn the upstairs into a listening room. And, so it's at most going to be a 2.1. And I have no real intention of ever bringing video into that. Yeah, never say never. I could get a set of speakers, do some sort of a surround and get a screen up there. But that is not the intent for this particular setup. And my home theater setup is not nearly as nice as yours. Yours sounds like an experience, that's for sure.
Well, it was definitely a huge upgrade from what I had before, that's for sure. Because I was rocking some old used stuff that had been in that spot for a lot of years. So it was time for a well-deserved upgrade. Anyway, I just wanted to jump in there and chat with you a bit about that because I've been listening to you yap on the radio. here and there about it and maybe your journey, and good luck with all of that. And I'm curious to what you're going to end up using for sound insulation down the line. But anyway, I'm going to cut out for now. I'll let you carry on with your road tripping and touch base with you later. W8WIW.
Yep, still very much work in progress, and travels now are, I'm over here at, where am I at, 14 and Stevenson, or 13, what am I coming out? Yeah, I'm at 14 and Stevenson. I think my travels will, might take me by Tringali's Bakery. Other than that, home. Catch you later. Great as always. W8FU.
Kilo Fox 8, Delta Golf Zulu, Kilo Fox 8, Delta Golf Zulu, radio check.
The Delta Golf Zulu station, the floor is yours.
Roger, roger, thank you. It was Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Golf Zulu. I'm in South Lyon because it's coming at 50 watts. I was wondering how it was hitting that West Bloomfield repeater there. Back to you.
Well, I'm going to switch over to it so I can tell for sure, but it sounds to me like there's just a little bit of bacon. And that's not a big deal. You are solid, completely intelligible. The audio is not perfect, but it's completely intelligible. Maybe a little bit muffled. Not bad. I'm being very, very nitpicky. You don't have to worry about any of these things. But you're doing well. You're doing okay.
Roger, thank you very much. I'm pretty sure this is the closest repeater to me out of that group. It seems to be a group of network repeaters coming off of this office West Bloomfield 1. So I appreciate the feedback, and you know, I don't want to kerplunk it or anything, so I appreciate you letting me know that I can hit it and at least be intelligible. So thank you very much. Back to you.
Yep, no problem at all. You're making it well. What kind of antenna are you running? Well, you said 50 watts, so I'm assuming you've got an outside antenna?
Roger that. Yeah, I've got that. I don't know if you've heard about these N9PAX, must be his call sign. He built these, what do you call it, like a ladder wire. He built them on a ladder wire, and it would be like for 270 centimeters. And I literally just have it hanging out underneath the eave of my house, like a trough or whatever, you know. And it's just above ground level, maybe only 4 or 5 feet. But to the east and to the north of me, where my house isn't blocking it, it seems to do incredibly well. I'm quite surprised, honestly. KFA ZZZ, back to you.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a ladder line J-pole, if I'm not mistaken, a J-pole design, but it seems to be working for you. And now there is a repeater on this system normally, but it's been down for some time in Detroit, and when that one goes back online, I talk to the owner, find out what his long-term plans are. But if that one goes back online, that might be a better pick for you out that way. The repeater is 442-175, and that's it is up and running, so you can test it, but it's not on the network right now. So that one's normally on the network. So that might be a better one for you guys on the, you know, kind of on the west side there. And so far no other takers out that away to add anything into the system. Phil's machine there, the 2.5, is about as far west as we go. So I wouldn't mind getting something out that away at some point, if even a receiver.
but for the main repeater 2.6. Okay, very good. Like you say, welcome aboard with the call. Sounds like you're relatively new to the game. Sounds like you're in and working, so there you go.
Yeah, thank you very much. KFAZZZ, with that I'll say 73 and clear, and prioritize this one a little bit in my memory channels here, so thank you very much. 73.
Real quick, what was the name there?
Coming back, name is Joe. Joe in South Lyon, Michigan, Kilo Fox 8, Delta Golf Zulu.
Okay, Joe, your call reminds me of Kosher Doggy Guts. That we used to have a guy, he used to say that. His call was KDG. God, I wonder if anybody from way back in the day remembers him. He used to always say Kosher Doggy Guts. His name was Jose, not Joe, so almost. But all right, anyhow, take care, Joe. My name here is Sean, and the call is W8FU.
Thank you, Sean, and thanks again. Enjoy the day, and hopefully we don't get any more rain. 73.
So did you stop at the bakery?
Not yet. I'm still over my side of town. That BJ's gonna go see if line's terrible for gas, maybe do that. If that gas line isn't terrible, and it's not, I'm gonna go get gas. I don't know if I'm gonna make the bakery yet. It is kind of, I'd like to, but, you know, I don't need to eat the crap. Oh, come on, really? All right, here we go. And let's see here, I will get in line behind who? Behind this guy here. Booyah! All right, anyhow, I'm in line at the beach. And still remains an open whether I'm going to make it to Tringali's.
All righty, just curious, got my lotto tickets. Kind of driving around aimlessly. I'm looking for a large bag of Winto Green Mints, which is very difficult to find these days for some reason. So I stopped at all the little stores along the way. Might grab some lunch somewhere. Undetermined. Just me and the wife out, getting out of house.
Maybe there's a tariff or a retaliatory tariff on Winter Green. Probably comes from Canada.
That wouldn't surprise me, but it's been this way for quite a while. I like keeping them in the house and in my car and whatnot, and I buy them in the bigger bags because it's cheaper. And all the stores, sometimes they got them, and a lot of times they don't.
Yeah, we usually keep a big bag as well, so good to know that they're entering toilet paper and egg the realm, so I'll have to keep an eye next time I'm at the grocery store, make sure we don't get a shortage, but same thing, Wintergreen, so I haven't bought any in a bit, so I didn't notice any shortage, and there's a lot of weird things that seem to be sold out. Like, I walk by and the shelves are completely clear on, like, one weird thing, and you're like, what's up with that? So, I think we're going to see a lot of that as these little trade things, you know, banter back and forth. We're going to see a lot of weird things mysteriously moving from the shop.
Roger that. Yeah, I think since COVID, everything got all out of whack, and I don't know that everything, not most things are back to normal, but I think there's still a few things that are just never got back to normal. I don't know. I mean, you would think Winto Greens, my goodness, how hard is it to keep that in stock, you know? But but then again, it could be whoever's in charge of stock not doing their job. But, I mean, I'll go to Meijer, Kroger, CVS, Walgreens, you know, what used to be Rite Aid, you know, and sometimes they'd have a couple of those jumbo bags, and most of the times they're out, so it's just weird.
Well, I'm going to stick with my theory that they harvest the wintergreen in Canada, and it's a retaliatory thing. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right, it looks like I'm next up to the pump, so I'm going to drop out of here and get my daily beach, and I'll be back. W8FU.
Okay, sounds good. I'm going to need a price update on that. I've been noticing 289 around town, KEPSI.
Tell you what, man, it was pretty quick in and out, but yeah, I'm pulling up. I'm pulling up right now, so that was pretty quick. Good time to go, I guess. I don't know about the one by you, but the one by me is, this is quick. All right, I am definitely at the pump now. My turn. I'll let you know as soon as I pump up what it costs. I don't have anything but the BJ's card, no other advantage. W8FU. Okay, do you count the 0.9 or not for the price?
I do not.
265 a gallon, 266 if you count the 0.9.
All right, that's actually pretty good compared to normal stations around that I've been passing today.
Yeah, I've always been pretty happy with the prices here, and if you get their card, if you get their credit card, you get 15 more cents off, so it would be $2.50 if you have their card. I'm almost tempted to get it, just for that.
Wow, that's definitely good. Huh. I don't know that I buy enough gas anymore, and then my closest BJ's is, I think, 23 and Gratiot-ish. I'm not even real sure about that. But I wonder if they've got a phono preamp in there somewhere.
Man, was that a learning experience. I walked into that place and the guy had the phono preamp. So my integrated amplifier, it's a Hagel H190, and it got replaced by the Hagel H190V. The only difference between the two is that the Hagel H190V added the Hagel V10 preamp internally. Otherwise, they're supposed to be identical. And the price difference is they were roughly the same, but they were blowing out the one without the V for a significant savings. And so if you found somebody that had one of those, plus they were selling it at a discount because, you know, it was used, you know, and all the cards lined up for me to get this thing, you know, they really did. He bought it at the new one's coming out discount, and then he sold it to me for, you know, like stupid cheap. And I was lucky, let's just put it that way. But in order for it to be equivalent to the new one, you buy this preamp. So I go in there, and this guy's got one. He's got a, and I said, oh, you know, what do you got for the Hagel V10 preamp? And he says, it's a phono preamp. That's all it is. And it integrates, you know, really nicely with my particular integrated amp. He says, you have $16.50. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, you could seriously build one. I mean, there's nothing to it. I think you can get them on Amazon for between $25 and $40. Granted, it's not the audio file quality, you know, that's in that really expensive one. But even then, you could have that by three times and still get a good one.
So there's that, and then there's something reasonable in between, right? You know, I mean, yeah, sure, you could build one or buy one off Amazon from, Alibaba. You know, I'm sure you could get one, and it'd probably be fine for a lot, and all that stuff, you know, but you could probably buy a really nice one, you know, for a couple $100, right? Now, that, you know, that is like, you know, it's not exorbitant, you know, and it should be really good, you know, all that stuff, but, you know, but $1,000, $1,500, $1,650, guy tells me, he goes, if you want that one, and you can see it was smudged up, a demo and all that, he goes, I'll probably get you that one for like $15. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I'll wait and I'll ask the owner. I said, no, I'm not buying. It just, I was just curious, and this is way, and I'm not going to bullshit the guy. I said, this is just out of my league. I'm not even, yeah, I just thought I'd ask. But, no, I've got a, so my idea was I didn't even want vinyl. I figured out what speakers I wanted for the space I wanted to, you know, to use. And then I bought an appropriate amp for those speakers and a streamer. That's all I wanted. I was going to start streaming high def, you know, Cold Buzz, Tidal. I was going to start streaming. And that was it. And so, you know, not having a phono preamp. Well, the streamer I bought has a phono stage. So I can just plug right into the streamer I bought, the WIM Ultra, and bingo, phono pre, you know, badge unlocked.
Oh, so that'll preamp. I'm not sure I'm 100% clear. Is it just a phono input for like ceramic, or is it a actual preamp for a magnetic cartridge?
No, I think it's good for magnetic. I'll have to check that. I'm pretty sure it's good because I bought it for that reason. And now that you say that, I'm like, oh man. I'm pretty sure it's magnetic. It's certainly not going to be moving coil, but it should be moving magnet. Should be fine with that. And anyhow, I'm going to get in the house here and check that immediately, because if it's only good for ceramic, I'm sure it's not, but damn it, if it is.
Yeah, you're going to want to know that. All right. Anyway, I'm pulling up to a Walgreens, and I'm going to zing in there and see if they got my Winto Greens KE8 VSI.
All right. You kids be safe. It's windy. You might blow away. You're going to have to go to Tringali's and get some of those cannoli donuts so that you can weigh you down. I should go there right now. All right, catch you later. W8FU.
W8FU, AB8 here.
Yo.
Yeah, so I hooked everything up, and still the most I was getting was about a little over 60 watts.
Weird. Hey, who knows? You know what drive you're hitting it with?
Yeah, that was the next thing I checked, and the repeater's only putting out about 7 milliwatts. It's supposed to be putting out 10, and there's no adjustments to getting more out. I don't know why it's running so low.
Right. That's puzzling why you're only getting 60. You know, power supply's up to snuff, and it's not sagging. And now, those Underwoods can be a different value. If that thing's truly tuned for that low in the band, you know, they could be, you know, quite a ways off. I know you're using the combiner from the original, the pre and the input from the old. So all you're doing is the two boards. So there's a few components there, but really, you know, there's just those couple of trimmers. But they both peak about 65, eh?
Yeah, I actually replaced three boards. The first day, the driver, and the two finals. So I haven't replaced the combiner yet. That was going to be my next idea. But I'm betting that's not going to make much difference.
Well, that's also what you were seeing out of it when it was in the original config about. So, yeah, so I mean, unless you got it when it was in its original config, unless you had it up to 100 there, you know, you may be just seeing whatever the holdup was you might be seeing there. So that's interesting that why it's there. I mean, you're under 3 dB away from, you know, optimum, so it should be helpful, and 3 dB over 3 dB more than you got, but yeah, still you want your Hundy. Plus, you know, going through the filters, you're going to lose a dB or two there, so.
Well, I could still use this like I was doing before, just try to drive the other another amplifier. I can get the output of this thing down as low as a fraction of a milliwatt. The output, so I can go from 60 down to like less than 5 milliwatts. So I could use that to drive the other amp I'm looking at if I have to.
Right. I mean, I hate that idea, but yes, you could.
All right, so just for fun, I'm going to probably just swap the combiners, combiner out, see what if that makes any difference. Like I said, I have a feeling it won't, but I'll try it anyways.
Yeah, all I can figure is that because of the because of the huge frequency shift, you know, something, you're just not able to hit the value you need. I don't know. It's unfortunate. You know, but we did roll down. Remember, we rolled down to 430, and it was still 65. So that was interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know why the output of the exciter is dropped. And like I said, there are no adjustments for that. Oh well.
All right, well, be curious. So, be listening.
I can think of is maybe I could increase the voltage on the power supply a little bit to see if that makes a difference. All right, keep plugging away at this thing. A, B, K. Have you found out if you're going tomorrow or not?
Westerly.
See again, I only got part of that. If you're talking, I'm not hearing you. Sean, I'm not hearing you through my nose. Can you hear me now?
Oh, I didn't hear anything. Right? You know, you asked me if I, about going. I just said, heading west, and I thought we were done.
Oh, okay. I asked you, you found out if you're going to Toledo.
Heading west.
I keep getting chopped off of something. I just heard west. Does that mean you're going west tomorrow?
Correct.
Okay, then. All right. Have fun with that.
Will do.
A, B, A, P.
Double you at a few.
Foxtrot 8, Delta Charlie Zulu, CQ, for a quick antenna check, please.
I can hear you.
This is KFA DOT on the antenna check. I have you loud and clear out of Holly.
Sir, I am transmitting out of Frankenmuth. I think I'm on the 44.025 repeater. I'm not sure how all the repeaters are linked yet, but I think this one is in Frankenmuth.
Yep, they're linked all the way down to the south side of Detroit from people I've talked to in the past. But yeah, your antenna sounds great, though.
Thank you very much. 73, KFA Delta Charlie Zulu.
Have a great day. Thank you for working on our antenna. I'm going to get back to my radio programming. So 73, and enjoy this weather while we've got it. KFA DOT.
Patient trying to come in there. Are you still out there?
Yeah, let's see if I got it. NATVP. Yeah, I'm in front of Macomb Community College in Clinton Township. I just figured I'd tell you, your signal's going to be good, too.
W8DIJ.
W8FU and 8NM.
Contact KF8 CWF clear.